You're listening to The Cube Show on demand. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's The Cube Show.
It's that all-born radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Welcome back into Cube Show, Cole Kublick. Joe Tessitore coming up in about 18 minutes from now here on the Ump and on the Cube Show. But Cole, now it's time for the call of the day, brought to you by Phone Restore. If you dropped your phone or iPad and you have that dreaded spider web going across the screen, is your computer not working the way you want it to? Bring it to the guys at Phone Restore. Most repairs done in less than an hour, located at 900 Bob Wallace Avenue, or go to their website, phonerestore.com. Russell Westbrook last night, after losing a tough game, a game which they led for the vast majority of, until Houston came back, did a little hack of Andre Robertson, and worked out their way. Russell Westbrook was asked what some think is an intriguing question about the difference between the Oklahoma City Thunder when he is on the court versus when he is on the bench. So Steven Adams was actually asked the question, but Russell Westbrook wanted to do a little bit of answering.
Steven, second time in three games, you guys really struggled when Russell went to the bench. You were out there for part of that. What goes on when he goes to the bench? Why is Houston so successful? And do you sense that they sort of get an energy boost just from him going out of the game?
Okay, so Cole first. You okay with the question?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Out of the game.
Hold on, Steven.
This is Russell Westbrook. I'm going to let you finish. Moment.
I don't want nobody to try to split us up. We all one team. Regardless, if I go to the bench, if Steven's on the floor, if I'm off the floor, we in this together. Don't split us up. Don't try to split us up. Don't try to make us go against each other, try to make against Russell and the rest of the guys, Russell against Houston. I don't want to hear that. We in this together. We playing as a team, and that's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah, Russell, I'm not trying to split you up, but twice in three games, you guys have not played well at all when you've gone to the bench.
That's fine.
Trying to figure out what's going on.
Say, Russell, you ain't played well at all. Say, Russell and the team haven't played well. Don't say when Russell goes out, the team don't play well. It don't matter. We in this together.
That may be, Russell, but I've asked Steven a question. It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
It is a legitimate question because Oklahoma City is +3 when he's on the floor. When he's off the floor, -40. Which, if you're in the plus-minus game, that's a lot to be minus when someone's off the floor. So that is your Phone Restore call of the day. Go to phonerestore.com.
This is good. This is making a lot of news, and a lot of people are upset and beat up about this. I feel like Russell Westbrook was attempting to go the right direction here. I think he's just trying to say, listen, don't put this loss on my teammates, because at the time that I wasn't on the floor, we didn't play great basketball. But that's not – I think he's trying to say that's not why we lost, because there was more time that I was on the floor than I wasn't, and we didn't win the game. That might have been a better way to put it. I'm not mad at Russell Westbrook for attempting to say we win and lose as a team. Did he draw more attention to it by doing this? Probably. I don't think that was his intent, but I think he did draw more attention to it this way by doing this. If I'm Steven Adams, I'm probably thinking – I can answer the question. And I'm okay with the reporter probably trying to continue to ask the question. It's not an invalid question by any stretch of the imagination. And it's also probably a question that is better suited to be answered by Adams, because he's on the floor when Westbrook is not and has an idea what's going on. Westbrook's not on the floor when Westbrook's not on the floor. So he doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know if the communication's different. He doesn't know if there's some people aren't doing the right calls. He doesn't know if some people...
There might be guys flipping out.
Yeah, it just could be the drop-off is so different, or that you could just say, when Russ is not on, he's literally not on the floor. We don't have a number two. He could say whatever he wanted, because we don't really know. We sort of... This is what I say all the time. When Russ is off the floor, there's a reason Oklahoma City isn't good. Because Russ is off the floor. He's their best player. Steven Adams isn't going to say that, and he could give you some kind of coach speak. But the reporter later went on to say they were trying to get to the next question, and the reporter later went on to say, no, I'm not giving up the microphone. They haven't answered my question.
Yeah. And also,
which is an interesting back and forth from a reporter. Saying, I just want Steven to answer it. And Steven just shook his head. It's like, I don't need to.
I also think there's a really good chance that Adams was going to pay Westbrook a very nice compliment there with how he answered that question, just based on his demeanor and how he handles himself. So,
listen, you've had a chance to talk to him in person.
Yeah, Russ might have just run over a compliment there from Steven Adams. But a lot of people upset about it. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't. I'm not mad at Russell Westbrook for that. He just lost a game that they had in hand. It was another game that they had in hand, and they couldn't close it out.
Yeah. And it's wild how close they were to splitting the series, to being like what Chicago and Boston did, which is both home teams holding serve. And they were that close to going back to Houston, tied at 2. Instead, it's 3-1. It's frustrating, and all these players have to talk after a loss, you know, going down 3-1. But it's frustrating. And he did try to basically say, I don't like the idea that the media is trying to separate them, trying to put one against each other. I think they just want to know why Steven Adams, in this case, thinks that they're not as good when Russ is off the floor. What's different when Russ is not on the floor? And, you know, Russell Westbrook's just basically trying to defend his team. He's like, hey, we're all in this together. Yeah, we get that. We're just trying to find out a specific, maybe get some kind of insight. You know, we're not saying talk about losing the game when you're now down 3-1. Talk about how you're minus 40 when Russell Westbrook is off the floor. He just wants to know what's different. Why is that different? Why do you think that's different? And, of course, we never get to get that answer.
Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about Alabama spring game. And we'll visit with Joe Tessitore at 7:20. He was there on hand to call the game. Just my initial thoughts of this game were that I thought both quarterbacks looked pretty good. I think the offensive line may end up being better than I thought they were going to be. And not that I thought they were going to be bad, but there were some concerns about this group maybe being great. I still don't think they're going to be an elite offensive line, a dominant offensive line. Jonah Williams looked pretty comfortable at left tackle. I thought he looked fine over there. I think Pierce Bacher is going to be fine at left guard. But I really did think Bradley Bozeman looked a lot better. I feel like Bradley Bozeman has improved his game a great deal. If what I saw Saturday is an indication of what we're going to get in the fall. Now, it's still one game. It's still not even a game. It's one scrimmage against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some of the skill positions have a chance to be pretty good. I mean, Jerry Jeudy looked nice. I still think Joshua Jacobs might be the best football player on that side of the ball. Now, is he the most talented? No. Is he the fastest, the most athletic? Definitely not. But that kid just does everything well. There's nothing he seems to struggle with. He's not afraid to step up in pass protection against guys that seemingly would just run him over. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's very shifty and he runs with power. He just seems to be sort of... He kind of reminds me of Joe Morris with the Giants. And I know there's, for some reasons, that's a bad comparison because Joe Morris was a bad dude off the field. So I'm not trying to say personality-wise at all. But as a football player, he's a smaller packaged guy that just does everything. He's like B plus A minus at everything. There's nothing he struggles with. And it's a little bit unfair because you got this one giant behemoth running back that everyone's in love with. And then you got this incoming running back that everyone thinks is the next savior at that position. But it's like, it's a little frustrating for me because I'm kind of like, you got this dude that's really good just sitting there that just, all he does is just find ways to help your offense be productive. That's all he does and gets no credit for anything. So that was just something that stuck out to me with watching those guys scrimmage.
Yeah, I think and some of that is sort of kind of fair. There's only so much praise to be given around, and people are going to fall in love with the guys that they like, and people like the superhuman kind of look and the superhero look. I'll tell you who looked like a superhuman superhero. Two guys on the defense. Raekwon Davis looked really good.
He looked great.
He looked great. And
they're going to need him because there's not a lot of guys on that D-line that looked dominant.
Right.
Payne looked like he had no interest in being out there. I'm not trying to be mean to the guy. Mm-hmm. He did not look interested in being. There's one play, Bradley Bozeman, one-on-one, drove him 5 yards off the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just didn't look interested.
Right.
And I'm not saying that means he's not going to be good in the fall, but he didn't look like he wanted to be out there.
You know who looked really good, and I was surprised to sort of see his height and stature because I think he's grown a couple inches since he's been on campus, is Terrell Hall. He's the one that had the interception and return for the touchdown. Dude's 6'5"
yeah,
man.
He's long.
That is a long kid who did a lot of rushing yesterday. And if you're looking for a guy, now he's just a sophomore, but it doesn't mean he can't get some decent playing time rushing out of that linebacker spot. So he's somebody if I were to look at and watch that film over and again, just seeing it from the camera angle.
Well, playing time won't be a concern for him. He's one of the guys that they need coming off the edge. They have to have him.
He looked special. He looked special. He looked like the power and the speed that he had was latent. Plus the fact that he's 6'5" as a linebacker, he's a giant person.
Yeah, I think he and...
the big man.
He and Mosley both looked more the part of who could maybe be the next edge guy that gives you a presence there. I didn't see a lot of things from a pass rush perspective from Hall that makes me think, oh, this is going to be a 10-15 sack guy. Other than just his physical stature, I still think that off the edge, I don't know who the guy's going to be.
Right.
And I think we know who it's not going to be, and that's Isaiah Buggs, because he wasn't lined up out there one time in the scrimmage. And he struggled with double teams in a major way.
I didn't see much of the much after the, like, near the end of the third quarter, but they didn't line him up in the fourth quarter like there at all either?
No. He made one tackle on a zone play, which, you know, zone scheme, you're not even really trying to get movement anyway, and the offensive guard didn't get him reached, and he ended up making the tackle down the line of scrimmage. But, I mean, I didn't think that he was, you know, the guy that we've heard about.
Right.
Hall, I agree with. I think Mosley's someone – I haven't heard anyone talk about Mosley as being this edge presence, but he is almost as big as Hall and super flexible off the edge. Now, he might be a little too light to be that guy right now. Anthony Jennings, I think, is somebody who can sort of be like Denzel Duvall-ish, sort of an every-down edge guy. Ryan Anderson, not as good of a pass rusher. But I still say, I mean, based on what I saw in this game, I agree with you. I thought Raekwon Davis looked great. And I just, with that amount of production that's gone, and as good as some of those guys were along that front seven, I felt like it validated my point watching that game Saturday that they're just not going to be the monsters on that front seven like there have been.
And Raekwon's a sophomore, too. There's a lot of young guys that got to grow into some roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not going to get another guy comparable to him size-wise. I mean, it's insane how big he is. I remember seeing him at practice. We had the Kent State game, and I'm just like, who in the hell is that guy? Let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets!
Oh, but somebody was asking me if they were soft, and I just... I'm not gonna label those guys soft. Andrew Johnson at Andrew J77826580. Come on, Andrew, do better. At Cole Kubik, thoughts on D line, especially pain, bugs in hand. Soft question mark. I wouldn't listen. Like I said, Darren Payne just didn't seem like he wanted to be out there, and maybe he's had a great spring and he just said, "Hey, I'm trying to get out of here, and not get hurt," which is usually the best way to get hurt. Isaiah Buggs struggled with double teams. I'm wondering if maybe he came in thinking he was going to be an exterior defensive player, like a defensive end guy, and doesn't really want to be down inside. But I wouldn't label him soft. I thought, like you said, Davis looked good. I thought Frazier looked really good at defensive line as well.
Frazier did look really good.
And I mean, Hand didn't play. So, I mean, he's a guy that maybe he's an upgrade there that can give you something different.
By the way, how about Kyrie McDonald Saturday, too, getting an interception?
Yeah.
James Clemens' product here in Madison. True freshman, but got himself an interception. Looking good.
Anthony Oliver tweets in at Cube Show, I am with Russell Westbrook on this. Might have said it wrong, but intent was there.
Yeah, I think you could tell that immediately he was going to try to just go to bat for his team. It's just kind of weird the way he said it, like stop trying to. At this point, if a reporter asks you, Cole, how come your team is worse when Ben Leard's on the bench? Is that, at this point of the season, if you're in the college football playoff, let's say you had it back then, is that going to pull your team apart?
Yeah.
It's not. But.
I agree that.
But going to bat for your teammates, I don't have a problem with.
Sure. Kim Walker tweets, hey, at Cube Show, this is All Barn Radio. Stay on point. All this Alabama talk / evaluation / praise is so out of character.
Mm. How about this? I know there were two good quarterbacks, but there was a third one that wasn't so good.
No, one of those quarterbacks was not like the other.
Means it didn't look as good, right?
Correct.
Mac did not look good.
No. I thought Tua looked great, though. I thought he looked solid.
What about the touchdown to Jerry Jeudy, the one off the deflection?
Hey, take it.
That's right. Just bounces around. You get.
Some people would say luck.
I would say there's no luck in football, even though the ball is oddly shaped. You make your own luck when the ball's oddly shaped like that.
AL.com Huntsville tweets 1 hour ago, Confederate Memorial Day 2017. What's open? What's April 24th? This is a real thing? There are businesses that are closed because today is Confederate Memorial Day? What? Ken Fang at Fang's Bites tweets 11 hours ago, and the record 18th overtime in the 2017 NHL playoffs first round will take place tonight. I think that meant last night. Does it happen if no one sees it?
Why would you say that?
If it doesn't happen, then I'm just wondering if it happens if you don't see it. Does it take place? Something we all saw.
No overtime at spring games.
Saturday afternoon was the Alabama spring game. On the call for that game was Joe Tessitore. Tess, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you and everybody down that way.
We appreciate you taking some time. Hope you had a great trip to Alabama and Tuscaloosa. You helped me out on Friday with the pronunciation of Alabama's offensive coordinator's name. Can we just settle this right here on the air for my listeners before we move forward?
Yeah, it's Dable like table, and it's funny that you say that because, any discussion of pronunciation with Alabama this offseason tends to focus on a Hawaiian native quarterback, but we will go with the offensive coordinator as Dable like table. We sat with him at lunch, and we said, Brian, listen, we've heard your name said about a million times as an NFL offensive coordinator left and right, and everybody's been, going in different directions. Please set it straight for us.
There you go. So let's stick with the offense and the quarterbacks. What did Brian Daboll have to say about the two guys? It seems like it's a two-man race right now. Maybe he said different, but the two guys competing for that spot this spring.
Well, I think he's very happy, as is Nick, with what the quarterback room is like. I think they feel great about the competition. I feel like they think, Jalen is taking the next step in progression and development. I think they're working very hard on not taking away his natural assets and his strength. He's an elite runner. He's an elite power athlete. But as we know last year, and I brought it up a couple times during the broadcast, 43% of his passes were at or behind the line of scrimmage. He was protected. They were limiting him with play calling and not exposing him. Well, you can't move forward like that. You got to be a passer. You got to be able to read a defense. You have to be a fully quarterback. And we're seeing glimpses of that already this spring, and he's taking to it. And I think they're going to just keep things comfortable for him, but be able to grow upon what the foundation of last year was. And those limitations caught up with them, obviously, against Washington in the playoff game and obviously in the championship game. There were some huge missed opportunities. But having said all that, he's still the quarterback that if one defensive play is made, was a second away from winning a national championship.
Joe Tessitore joining us was on the call for the Alabama spring game Saturday. Before we move on, I want to ask you about this. I say on the call. This is a very different scenario for you, and I think you've done this exact format before, but not very often. Is it weird being in the booth by yourself up there? And I know it's a spring game. It's a very loose atmosphere.
I got to tell you, I absolutely love it. I can't get enough of it. It was the best booth I've ever done. I'm like, as the 12 past color commentators I've been with are cringing right now. No, it's different, but it's fun, and we can pull it off on a day like that. What I like about it is if you watch, I think we've done this a couple of years now with Herb Street and Galloway down on the field with Saban. While I'm solo in the booth, it's good to be in the booth because I've got the monitors, the ability to see the whole field, to pick up things the guys can't see from the funny angles they're working with. But unbelievable access we get because of Galloway and Herb Street and who they are and the relationships with the coaching staff and the access that Saban will give them. And it makes for a better broadcast in that spring game setting with the two of them down there flanking coach and being able to go over to Mike Loxley and go over to Dable and go over to Pruitt. And I mean, we're hearing play calls, we're getting insight. And thankfully in the last 5 minutes of that game, we were getting clarity as to what Nick was thinking as to how we were going to deal with this time. So, we enjoyed it very much.
Coach Saban was great with you guys. And when you look at this football team, leadership is something that I think he deals with every year, but I feel like they're, is probably more gone in the last 2 years each year than there has been in the rest of his tenure. Joe, I look at that front seven, and I see the best speed rusher he's ever had is going to be gone. The most versatile defensive lineman, and I would argue the best defensive lineman he's had in Jonathan Allen, is going to be gone. I've heard a lot of draft analysts argue the best linebacker he's had, which when you're talking C.J. Mosley, Rolando McClain, Dante Hightower,
Reggie Ragland,
it's pretty high praise to even be mentioned. And then Ryan Anderson, a guy that had double-digit sacks a year ago, a very nice role player and a quality individual with a lot of leadership there, a veteran guy. Who can be those next guys, not even from a talent perspective, but just as individuals, as alpha dogs, who can be the next guy up front for this Alabama defense, in your opinion?
That's the real question, because if we're going to sit here and talk about talent, well, then we can answer this all day long, because there is talent there and there are young guys with measurables and abilities and attributes that we can rave about all day long. The question is, what happens when you don't have Jonathan? Let's just go back 2 years ago, the Cotton Bowl game with A'shaun Robinson holding other players on his team accountable for their actions and their preparation, or Jonathan Allen a year ago sort of being the sheriff of that defense, or the intensity of a Ryan Anderson. Yes, that is missing. There is plenty of talent, and there is plenty of talent that will step forward and now assume these roles and be just as fast and just as strong and just as good and have as many stars coming behind them, you know, in their launching pad into this level of college football. As for who it'll be, I can't answer that right now. We don't know right now. We don't know who has that personality. We know that there are going to be some special guys on the field in terms of productivity. Mika Fitzpatrick's going to be very, very solid in that defensive backfield. Deron Payne is going to be an absolute beast up front, but you know his job isn't one of those positions of sort of two gapping it on the inside and holding the fort that really flashes in certain ways. So we will see who it is that emerges in that way.
Visiting with Joe Tessitore.
I think personally, and he wasn't on the field the other day, but I think Sean Dion Hamilton could be that guy. He's overcoming the injury, but he'll be back for fall camp and should be very productive.
That's a good thought by you. And one guy who I was excited to see was Rashawn Evans. I think he could be the best pass rusher if they allowed him to just line up outside of an offensive tackle on second, third, and longs and kind of see quarterback get quarterback. But
agreed.
It feels like they need him more in that linebacker spot. He's playing off the ball a little bit more Saturday. Was that the feeling that you guys got?
Yes, it was. Yeah, and we saw Christian Miller coming off the edge a little bit the other day. We saw Anthony Jennings coming off the edge a little bit the other day. We saw the freak athleticism of number 24 Hall, who's 6'6", 250, went up and pick-sixed the ball at the line of scrimmage. You know, Dylan Moses is a young guy. He's only a freshman, but athletically he's just, you know, superior to a lot of guys. So they've got options. You know, up front, I do think Isaiah Bugs, the JUCO transfer defensive end, is going to be something. I thought Quinnen Williams really started to show us something the other day in the spring game. I think his development's going to be there. Raekwon Davis, I think, is another name. The talent is there. It's just, to your point, one of the reasons this team wins at the level they do is because they get into these tough spots. And the demand for consistency, well, that seemed to have been born of elite veteran leadership. And right now, you look around and you say, well, where is that?
Joe Tessitore joining us was on the call for the Alabama spring game. What do you think it is about Jalen Hurts' demeanor, personality, mindset that separates him from maybe other quarterbacks with his similar skill set and ability level, but that allows him to be someone who plays early and plays successful?
Yeah, he is a very confident and poised guy. I would tell you that as much as we talk about, you know, what he is in the weight room, or, you know, what he is as an elite power runner, or, it is that right there is the reason why he was even on the field last year. You know what's interesting about Hurts is this is not something that all of a sudden late in fall camp was there and they said, let's go for it. If you remember when he was playing scout team and repping Watson as they were preparing for the first go-around against Clemson, and he was on campus for about 4 days, you would already hear guys talk about this. And then a year ago right now, and, you know, I think I was making the rounds following, you know, the spring game, and people would ask me about, well, what did you see? And I said, well, the one thing is they will tell you to their face, the true freshman early enrollee quarterback is legitimately in the mix for this job, and people would dismiss that as just spring football talk. That's always been there, and that doesn't go away. So his baseline of being calm and poised and in control and acting the part of the quarterback and the leader and the steadying force and the pillar that they can build this offense around, you know, they trust in that greatly. And I think with that, that's where you get that room to allow for him to develop, or allow for him to be more of the passer who can read a defense and learn at this level with such an accomplished offensive coordinator like Dable. But I do think that's his number one attribute.
Tess, we heard Nick Saban after the game tell reporters he doesn't feel like he has an elite team right now. Not that any of us would expect him to say, hey, this is the best team I had. I expect us to win a title. But when you see this team up close and you talk to the coaches, where are real areas of concern with this football team?
Right side of the offensive line, the first thing that stands out to me. I think they probably feel good about. Now, this is unless they start shifting some of the pieces. But if we were to say right now that the left tackle is Jonah Williams, that the left guard is Ross Persbaker, and Bradley Bozeman is the center, I think the right side of the offensive line is a place where they want to probably have some answers. And they do have guys that can obviously be on that offensive line, be highly competitive at the SEC level. But that would be a concern. Staying healthy at wide receiver, because I do think that the top three are excellent, and I think you saw that the other day. I thought that Judy, the freshman, Ridley, and Foster were excellent. Staying healthy at tight end, or at least seeing Forrestall and Henches, you know, pick up the pieces and play the role of O.J. Howard. And then first and foremost, and the most important thing, is what you asked me earlier, and that is, who are the leaders defensively? Who are the alpha dogs? Who's going to have some bite to them? I think that is critically important on defense. I think talent is there. I think this team is very talented but very young. And with that youth are going to come some of those testing moments where do you get through them or do you get dinged? Do you take a loss? Do you suffer the second loss? Even with all the talent and experience of the last 2 years, go back and think about how many of those moments they had to get through. The comeback against Ole Miss, you know, the game against LSU. There were still so many of those moments, and you go back the year before, of where you had to get through it, and you got through it because of the makeup, typically the makeup of what those guys were defensively.
Joe Tessitore joining us was on the call for the Alabama spring game Saturday. Tess, I said a little bit earlier, Arky and I were discussing this game. Joshua Jacobs, to me, and people won't like this, feels like the best football player on that side of the ball. He's not the most athletic. He's not the fastest, the most powerful. He's not going to put up the big weight room numbers, but just seemingly does everything well that they ask him to do. He's constantly helping the offense be productive. What did you guys hear about him or notice with him or see with him while preparing for and covering this game Saturday?
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I think the realities of being a running back on that roster is that they can go six deep, and any one of those guys could be a productive starting running back. And Bo Scarborough is going to be 100% healthy for fall camp. So let's not fool ourselves in trying to think as if, you know, things are going some other way here. But I do agree that Josh Jacobs – now, Josh Jacobs is the hidden gem. I mean, Josh Jacobs was, you know, the great recruiting land for them that nobody expected as he fell through the cracks. I mean, this is a guy that had Wyoming and New Mexico State offers, and then, you know, some Big 12 teams came in late. Mizzou came in late, you know, playing up there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's built differently than the other guys. He is not from the Najee Harris, Bo Scarborough mold of 6'2", 6'3", 230, 235. That's not who he is. But he's really, really agile. He's got a good burst. He's got great vision. He's productive out of the backfield. He was picking up in pass pro. I like him a lot. I think he's all six of them are north of serviceable, and a couple of them are towards elite. So it's a very nice problem to have. You know, you're talking about guys that a lot of people expect on the college level were going to be superstars who are going to be fighting for playing time. And even the freshman, the local freshman out of Hillcrest High, Brian Robinson, who's an early enrollee, has had a tremendous spring camp. So between Harris and Scarborough at the top and the ability for Jacobs and Emmons and Robinson, they are loaded at running back, absolutely loaded.
What about this team, in your mind, changed the most after covering them over the weekend?
That's an interesting question, and the easiest answer I could give you was Brian Daboll. Without besmirching or getting into, you know, a lot of what probably a lot of people in our business have heard of the details of, you know, the last month and the last week of the Lane Kiffin departure or anything that was dealt with Steve Sarkisian in January. Brian Daboll is wired the way Nick Saban is. Brian Daboll is a former graduate assistant of Nick Saban. He is a Belichickian alkalite. He is of that world and of that mentality. And because of that, there is a real comfort there. There is a real security. I think Nick is breathing very easy and life is good in those offices. So that is, to me, the biggest game changer for them. And also this thought that this was a retreat to a different kind of Alabama offense of yesteryear is not true at all. I think Daboll does whatever it takes to win. I think he was brought in to fully evolve and develop the passing game. You know, but people think, oh, they're not going to have any of the RPO stuff. They're not going to have any of the stuff that's been working in college lately. Yeah, the nature of what he's going to do is pro style, but he's going to do whatever it takes to win. They're going to be very willing to work with Hurts and make it all fit for him. But Dable's the biggest change.
Joe, great stuff. Thank you so much for the time. Really do appreciate it. Nice job on the call Saturday, and look forward to catching up soon.
Always a pleasure to wake up early with my espresso and talk ball with you gentlemen. Have a great day and keep up the outstanding work.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Tessitore joining us there on the phones. Great stuff. Was on the call for the Alabama spring game. We'll talk more about it when we return. Check out our friends at Madison RV Supercenter. Why? Fifth wheels, travel trailers, toy haulers, motorhomes, Class A, Class C, all available right there on the lot and indoors. So, chilly, rainy days like today, you can go inside and shop. Kim and Rod and the guys are going to help you get into the vehicle of your dreams. You can finance it on site. You can trade yours in. There's new and used, and you can rent from Madison RV Supercenter. Go to MadisonRV.com today. Nice visit with Joe Tessitore, Arky Shea. I thought some of the quotes that he gave us were great. And if you sort of, I felt like I read between the lines a little bit there, and him saying that the where his mind changed the most by visiting with this team, being around this team, was what Brian Daboll, as in table, as Joe corrected us, not only what he brings from an offensive standpoint in his mind, but maybe just that those coaching offices are a little more at ease, and there's a little less tension, a little less stress, a little less babysitting, and that might be good for everyone involved.
Yeah, we'll know a lot, obviously, when the season starts off, because it doesn't seem to be that the offense that Lane Kiffin was running was much of the problem for Nick Saban at all. Because if it was, feel like we wouldn't see a whole lot. Because I don't know how much you paid attention to it, Cole, but it looked like there were a lot of RPOs in that spring game.
I did notice that RPOs, I said it in a tweet, I think this team will be RPO and play action heavy.
And if you wanted this offense to revert back to Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry right, let's see if we can get Eddie Lacy somewhere. Let's see if we can get Bo Scarborough. Let's see if we can get Mark Ingram. Let's see if we can just bring all the backs of the day just to come in and go left, right, and then if we need a little play action over the middle, that's probably not going to be the case. And it will be interesting to see, because I thought this, when they first hired Brian Daboll, it was going to be a not a complete reversion back to the running game, but there would be more of a focus on it. On the spring game, it didn't really show that much of a focus on it. And, you know, you want to know, or I should say, not much of a focus on it, but more of a refocusing on that being primarily what they do. So you wonder how much the evolution of the Alabama offense has come over the last few years, and this is one of those things where, you know, they had it shoved down their throat a few times, and then they started to adopt it. And then when you start getting teams that are lesser than you having success against you in new types of offenses, well, think about what that offense that has all the better players starts doing and what kind of success they're going to have. When you have a Calvin Ridley, when you have a Robert Foster, when you have the Amari Coopers, when you have the, you know, even the Jerry Jeudy's of this world, when you have the better players and you start running the offenses that are more successful in college, the next thing you know, you're all of a sudden a great team again. So it's definitely going to be quite entertaining to see Alabama run this, because you may not see as many jet sweeps, but I wonder how many times you're...
Go watch LSU if you don't see those.
But I don't know. I did see a few of those in that game. I do not know how much Alabama fans are going to be a huge fan of it when it comes on Saturdays. And that's the thing. Is that just always going to be the fan base that always cries yesteryear? That always cries John Hanna? That always cries... Go back to what we were.
If you missed it earlier in the show, I was involved in a bit of a Twitter debate over the weekend of who would be your number one pick of former Alabama players when they were an Alabama player. I said Derek Thomas and then Amari Cooper, because the discussion began around, is this the best specialty group that Saban or Alabama have ever had? And I said no, because I would want Amari Cooper, because I think he's the best offensive player in Alabama history. That's just my opinion. So I agree with you on RPOs. I saw a lot of them. And you talk to certain people who run spread-style offenses. Now, not the high-powered Baylor, Texas Tech, Washington State, that kind of spread. Or maybe not even a Malzahn Freeze-type spread. But guys who run versions of it, they will tell you that there's an RPO attached to every run play they have. Every single one. I'm not ready to say that Alabama's going to be to that level just yet, but there are a lot more than I saw last year even. I don't think Lane attached RPOs to 80% of their plays. The other thing that I saw that I liked was a lot of quick throws, but not as many horizontal quick throws. The quick throws that you saw from Alabama were vertical quick throws. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be 20 yards down the field, but it's down the field to some extent. 5 yards, 2 yards, 8 yards. And I think you're always doing yourself. Now, listen, I know where the value is intrinsically of stretching the defense, going east, going west, making them run, spreading them out, forcing them to defend those things. I defended jet sweeps last year. Those all have a place. Don't get me wrong. However, I did like to see Alabama with more of a downfield passing attack, even with the quick stuff. And I think that's something that will help any offense because, obviously, you're gaining more yards more quickly. It puts you in a big advantage. But I think play action, RPO, quick passes down the field are going to be something you're going to see a lot more of from this group.
And I said this when we were talking about it with Lane Kiffin, and I think it's going to be interesting here with Coach Dable, Coach, that these guys who come in, the Sarkisians, the Kiffins, and now the Dables, these guys kind of have the kid in a candy store. They have a whole toy box in front of them of just highly rated, extremely athletic, extremely gifted players that now they just got to pick and choose what they want to play with and win. And it's kind of a nice luxury to have.
I agree. So, all right, we'll get to a break, come back and talk maybe who we saw in the Alabama spring game that stood out that we liked right after this. Welcome back in. Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Individually, we're looking for who stood out to you in Alabama's spring game. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP. I thought Joe Tessitore brought up a good name that we haven't really discussed of who could be sort of that alpha male on the Alabama defense. When he said a guy that wasn't out there, I don't know why, but I immediately thought he was going to go with Deshaun Hand, who did not participate. But Sean Dion Hamilton not out there either and made some plays early last year before he went down to injury, and he was a difficult loss, but a guy that meant a lot to that football team. So he could end up being sort of that guy for this Alabama squad in 2017. Individually, though, Arky, who stuck out the most? Who did you come away from that game thinking, boy, I was impressed with blank?
I'll tell you, Raekwon Davis really was the one that stood out because I've seen him in spot duty before, but coming in as a sophomore, I mean, he, Hall looked great to me, the guy with the interception return for a touchdown looked great. I liked their little Kyrie McDonald love out there for James Clemens just because he had interception. But, you know, a couple of sophomores really stood out to me.
You can be a part of the show, 866-485-9867. We continue spring ball talk next.